I believe we can go ahead and dismiss Children's Church. Those are age 10 and down. Y'all can go ahead and have Children's Church. Thank y'all for being here today. Hope I can say a few things that will be a help to you, maybe a blessing to you. Turn your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Peter, chapter number 1. 2 Peter, chapter number 1. I'm going to talk to you this morning about things that you already know, entitled Things to Remember. Things to Remember. I like to hear new things, but I like to be reminded of things. I've told how I got saved 1,000 times probably, but I got saved this last month, 48 years ago in Lubbock, Texas. I lived at 3006 30th Street in Lubbock, Texas, in a one-room apartment. On a Sunday afternoon, a former preacher, still doing a little bit, came by my house with one of the deacons from the Tabernacle Baptist Church in Lubbock, and I got saved at my house there, and I've told that a thousand times. And so we don't always have to have something new every time. People need to be reminded of things, and that's what this is about. Today, things to remember. In your Bibles, begin reading in verse number 1, 2 Peter chapter number 1, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God in our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to virtue, to glory and virtue. If you ever wondered if he was called to do anything, well, right there the Bible says we're all called for something. It says we're called to glory and virtue. Glory is the future. There's going to be some glory whenever we meet up with Jesus. But there's also virtue. That's now. Right now we are supposed to live a virtuous life. That is our calling, to live a virtuous life as a Christian in this life. So he says in verse number 4, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. We just a minute ago sang the song, Standing on the Promises. The Bible is filled with promises for the Christian, and we're to take those promises and live by those promises. So he says, into verse number 4, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. We live in a corrupt world. The Bible says that the world has been corrupted by lust, by the desire for things. It has been corrupted, but we can escape that. He says in verse number 5, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Here's the verses, verse number 12, 13, 14, I believe it's 15, that I'm going to take for a text. Wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle. You see his tabernacle there, he's talking about his body. He says, as long as I'm alive, I'm going to remind you of these things, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance, knowing that shortly I must put off this tabernacle, that is this body. In other words, he's going to die shortly, even as our Lord Jesus Christ has showed me. Verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able after my decease to have these things always in remembrance. In other words, after I'm gone, I want you to always be remembering the things that I have been telling you about, the things that I have been reminding you about. I want you to always be remembering those things. So I want to talk to you this morning about things that we are to remember. So let us pray. Father, we pray that you'd help us now again. And we pray again the Spirit of God would enlighten us and give us some help this morning, Father, and bless your people. Thank you for the privilege to be here, to stand here, God. And I pray that you'd just help me, Lord Jesus Christ. Please help us. And I ask your blessing upon these words in Jesus' name. Amen. So in here, the book of 2 Peter is written by the Apostle Peter, who introduces himself a little bit different than he did in the first book. In the first book, he said, Peter, an apostle. He didn't add the word servant. But here in 2 Peter, he's a little bit older. And he said, Peter, an apostle. He said, Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he got a little bit older, and he said, now I am a servant. But he's a servant and an apostle. And I wanted to stop here for just a minute and say something about the word apostle. You know, today you might hear that there some people call themselves apostles. Folks, let me tell you something. Biblically, there are no apostles today. There are no successors to the apostles. Judas Iscariot hanged himself, and after he hanged himself, he was the last apostle chosen. After he hanged himself, they chose one to take his place, another apostle. His name was Matthias, and you find that in Acts chapter number 1 and verse 21 through 26. But that was the last time they chose an apostle, another apostle, to succeed one who had died. In Acts chapter number 12, one of the apostles by the name of James was beheaded. He was killed. They did not choose another successor after that to take his place. Folks, there are no successors to the apostles as far as being an apostle. If there were, they would have the signs of an apostle. You know what an apostle could do? He could lay his hands on the sick, and they get up. He could go down here and clean out the hospital. An apostle, he could raise the dead. Those were signs that were given unto them. The signs are for the Jews, the Jewish people. At the end of the book of Acts, God stopped dealing with the Jewish nation. He stopped dealing with them, and he turned to deal with the Gentiles. So whenever he stopped dealing with the Jewish nation, the signs were gone. There are no signs today like that. We don't have signs. Signs, I'm talking about signs to help you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We don't have to have signs. You know how we do it? We do it by faith. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You and I, we have a Bible, and we live by faith. So there are no successors to the apostles. Peter said, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. He's talking to people who are saved just like he was. That's you and that's me. He's talking to people like that who have obtained like precious faith. Peter had trusted Jesus Christ and his righteousness, and that's what we must do. We must trust Jesus Christ and his righteousness. The Bible says in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. So we can't trust our own righteousness. We've got to have somebody else. We get in on the merits or the righteousness of somebody else. See, we must have a perfect Savior, and we do, and that's how we get in on his righteousness. See, so with that little introduction there, according to the Bible, there are lots of time when we hear preaching and teaching, and there's not always something new in it. Sometimes it's just to remind us of things that we already know. I already know that Jesus died for my sins. I know about the cross, and I love the cross, but I like to hear about it. I need to be reminded of it, see. I still like to hear about it. And when I don't hear about it for a while, or I don't preach about it, or I don't hear somebody else preach about it, then I get hungry to hear about that. I want to hear about it. I want to think about it. I want to think about the cross, you see. I already know these things, but I need to be reminded of them. I already know that I'm saved and that I have eternal life, but I still need to hear it preached and to be reminded of it. I know already about the goodness of God, but I still need to hear about it. I still want to hear about it and be reminded that God is good, that God is kind, that God is merciful, that God is forgiving. I already know about that, but I've experienced that, you see, but I still need to hear about it. I still need to be reminded about it and all of these things, you see. It's kind of like a football team or a basketball team. They have training camp every year, and they may learn a few new things. They may learn a few new moves or plays, but a lot of the times it's just going over things that are basic that they've been over 1,000 times. They just go over them and over them to help them so they don't forget about the basics. Folks, the basic things are good. The basic things are good. We need to be reminded of them over and over. Most of the time, whenever we pray, it's the same things over and over every day. You know why? Because I need the same things today that I needed yesterday. Still need some of the same things, you see, over and over. So we pray many times over and over. We thank God over and over. We pray for the same things. God watch over us and protect us over and over. Sometimes you just do things over and over, see. It's kind of like reading the Bible. Reading the Bible. My wife and I are reading the Bible. We're reading Genesis right now. And I'm reading the book of Psalms and Proverbs. And I have read them a bunch of times, folks. I've read them many times, but you know what? I just keep reading them over and over. You know why? Because everything that's in there, I can't remember it all. I need to be reminded of it. See, so we always need to be reminded of things over and over again. That's the way you're supposed to do the Bible, just keep on reading it over and over again. You can't read the Bible through one time if you've done that. I hope you have. But if you haven't, you need to read it over again. You need to just take your Bible and just wear it out. See, keep on reading it over and over again. Put things in your mind, put them to memory. The Bible says, write them upon the table of thine heart so that you can just spit them out, you see, so that whenever something comes up in your life, something from the Bible, it'll just come out. See, it'll just be in your heart and in your mind over and over again. We sing the same songs over and over again. We sing them over and over again. I still love them, see. I've sang Amazing Grace 1,000 times, maybe more than that. I've sang Blessed Assurance over and over 1,000 times. All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. I've sang it over and over again. But I still like them, see. I'm going to sing those songs until Jesus comes again. We're going to keep on singing those songs that have Scripture and Bible in them. So the Apostle Peter's writing here. He's saying, I'm not going to neglect putting you in remembrance of what he calls these things, these things. Look in verse number 12. It says, wherefore I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them. See, you already know them. But I'm not going to be negligent to remind you of these things so that you might be established in the present truth. So he's going to remind them of things that they already know so that they'll be established. And that's what we need a lot of times. We need to be reminded. He's telling them that since they have been saved now, since you have obtained this faith, this like precious faith, he said, I don't want you to stop there. And I'm going to keep on reminding you of all kinds of things. You look over in verse number three of 2 Peter chapter 1, it says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Now I preached to you a few weeks ago. The fact that God has given us everything that we need in order to live a Christian life. God has given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. We already have that. In verse number 4, he says, we all have all these precious promises, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature and having escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, see. So we have all those kinds of things. But here's the thing, folks. Whenever a person gets saved and whenever you got saved, you're not supposed to stop there. You're not supposed to stop there. It's not enough just to get saved. You see, getting saved, that'll get you into heaven. That'll get you into heaven. But God's not going to take you to heaven just yet. He left you here. Why did he leave you here? Because he's got something for you to do. And so God doesn't want us to just stop there. You look down in verse number 5. It says, and beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith And he gives us some things there that we're add to our faith. So I want to tell you some things that you're supposed to remember. And the first thing to remember is this, that you are to remember that God wants you to grow. You are to grow as a Christian. So he says right there in that verse, he said, and beside all this, besides all these things that God just told you, beside all these things that you have, beside all the promises that you have, and beside the fact that you escaped the corruption that's in the world through lust, and beside the fact that you have all these precious promises, he said, beside all that, he said, I want you to add these things to your faith. In other words, I don't want you, just because you got saved, he said, I don't want you to stop there. You see, a lot of times you can go up and down these streets out here, and there may be some people who are saved, but are they growing? Have they grown in the faith? Do they know anything? Do they know anything? There's a lot of parents out there. They may be saved, but they know so little about the Bible that they could not even help their kids to get saved. They could not even lead their own children to the Lord, you see. They are so not knowing anything about the Bible, you see. They could not teach their own family. There's men out there who said, I have to let my wife take care of that because they don't know anything. They can't teach their family. You're not supposed to stop whenever you get saved. You're supposed to grow as a Christian. He's reminding them, I want you to add some things to your faith. He gives you seven things to add to your faith. Look at verse number five. And beside this, beside all these things up here in verse 1, 2, 3, and 4. Beside all these things up here, giving all diligence, you're supposed to be diligent about it. That's why you have a Bible. To be diligent about the things of God. To be diligent. There's no excuse for us not learning things when Bibles are available. If you don't have a Bible, we'll give you one. There's no excuse for us not knowing things from the Bible. We've got it there in black and white. I take it that most of us can read. He said, beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith. See, faith will get you saved. Therefore, being justified by faith, Romans 5:1. Justified by faith. You can be saved by faith in Jesus Christ. He said, beside this, having all diligence, add to your faith. Seven things. He said, add to your faith. Number one is virtue. Virtue is living a godly Christian life right here, right now. That's what God has called us to do. Add to your faith virtue. We should not be the same today as you were 5 years ago. You should not be the same today if you're a Christian as you. If a person gets saved, and whenever they get saved, they cuss. That ought not to last long. You ought to stop that. If they smoke, they ought to stop that. If they do all kinds of other ungodly things, that stuff is supposed to stop. It is supposed to cease whenever you get saved. That is repentance. We're supposed to stop those things. He said that we are to add to our faith virtue. And then he says to virtue, knowledge. That's knowledge of God that you get from the Holy Bible, you see. Reading the Bible. So we are to add to our faith virtue and knowledge and temperance. There's a good thing right there. Temperance is self-control. Let me ask you something. How is your house? There's some people don't have enough self-control, or they don't have enough temperance to get anything done for the Lord. It's like this. Sometimes people's houses or their homes or their life are like scrambled eggs. You know, just all scrambled up, and they can't get anything done because they can't control their life, see? In other words, their life controls them. Their circumstances control them instead of them controlling their circumstances. They can't get to church. They can't get to church. They can't get to Sunday school. They can't get to church on Sunday night. They can't get to church on Wednesday night. Oh, yeah, they may be saved, but their life is not such. They cannot order their life. You're supposed to order your life so that you can do something for God. You're supposed to discipline your life. You're supposed to discipline yourself. You're supposed to discipline your children. Temperance. Temperance, he says. Verse number 6, he says, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience. Patience. That's one I'm not very good at. Patience, you see. Having patience. The ability to wait. The ability to wait upon God. He says we're supposed to have patience, and to patience godliness. To be like God. To think like God. To read the Bible and let your mind be renewed. And then verse number 7, and to godliness, brotherly kindness. A little brotherly kindness goes a long way. We're supposed to be kind people. And to brotherly kindness, charity. See, all these things we're supposed to add to our faith. And so Peter is telling us, I want you to remember to grow as a Christian, to grow in the faith. Don't stay the way that you are, you see. You got to read the Bible. You got to work at it. And the Bible says be established in the faith. And so he's telling us, I want you to remember that you're supposed to grow and add these things to your faith. Number 2 is found in verse number 8. We're supposed to remember that God wants us to bear fruit. Look in verse number 8. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, so he says, if you'll add to your faith these things, then I don't want you to remember, I don't want you to forget, but I want you to remember to be fruitful, that God wants you to be fruitful. These things have to be in you, and he says they're to abound. They are to control you. There's two kinds of fruit. There's the fruit of the Spirit, and that is what the Spirit of God produces in you, like it says in Galatians 5:22. It says there, now the fruit of the Spirit is this, 9 things, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. See, those are things that the Spirit of God produces in us. And so he wants to remind us that we are supposed to bear fruit. That's one kind of fruit. Then there's another kind of fruit. There's the fruit of a Christian. That's the fruit of a Christian is another Christian. Let me ask you something. Are you going to take anybody to heaven with you? You're going to take anybody to heaven with you? I hope you want to take somebody to heaven with you. You see, you should have somebody. Somebody. Is there somebody that you have led to the Lord? Could you sit down and talk to somebody and show them from the Bible how that you can be saved? You see, that's fruit, the fruit of a Christian. So God wants us to remember, and Peter's telling them, I want you to remember that God wants you to bear fruit. And don't forget that. Verse number 9, number 3 is that God wants us to remember to not forget where you came from. Look in verse number 9. It says, but he that lacketh these things. In other words, he doesn't put these things in his life. He doesn't put these things in his life. He's blind. Look at verse number 8. He's barren. But if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. A Christian can be barren and they can be unfruitful. And then in verse number 9, he that lacketh these things is blind. That's a blind Christian. He cannot see afar off. And what else? And the Bible says there that he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Is that possible? Is that possible that a Christian could be saved, but he's forgotten? He's forgotten that he was purged from his old sin. Is that possible? Is it possible? Is it possible that I could forget that 48 years ago, Brother Mayfield came by my house and told me about the Lord? Is that possible that I could forget that? It says right here, he that lacketh these things, he lacks these things, those 7 things that he's supposed to add to his faith. He that lacketh these things, he's blind. Well, that probably doesn't mean that he needs these kinds of glasses. See, when I take these off, I'm not blind, but I'm kind of fuzzy. That's probably not what he's talking about. He doesn't need these kind of glasses. It'd be in a spiritual sense there. He's blind spiritually. The Bible says he cannot see afar off. He cannot see afar off. Why? Because he's blind. He doesn't add these things. Maybe he got saved, but his salvation means so little to him that he's forgotten about it. And he cannot see afar off, you see. Is that possible? Is that possible, Damaris, that you could forget when, well, Brother Fuller, right? When Brother Fuller, is that possible that you could forget that? Is that possible? Is that possible that you could forget that day about 7 or 8 years ago when you came down the aisle over here in another place? Is that possible that you could forget that? I don't see how it is, but evidently it is. For he that lacketh these things that he just told us, those seven things, he told us there, virtue, temperance, knowledge, patience, brotherly kindness, charity. He said, if you don't add those things, then you'll forget. God doesn't want you to forget. Is that possible that you could forget that day whenever you got saved? He says he cannot see afar off. He's blind. He can only see right here. I used to work with some people that there was a fella, and he was, I guess you would say he was legally blind. I could tell you his name, up in Clovis. Now, he could see up close. He wore big, thick glasses. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just using an illustration. He wore big, thick glasses, and he could see right here. He could see right here, but he couldn't see afar off. That means he's, am I right? It's nearsighted. Nearsighted. He could not see afar off. There are a lot of Christians, they can't see afar off. There are some things coming in their life. There are things coming upon this world, but they are unaware of them. Why? Because they're blind. They don't know about them. They don't study about them. They don't hear about them. They don't know what's coming. The judgment seat of Christ is coming out here one day. The judgment seat of Christ is coming, where every person in this room, every person that you know, every Christian will have to stand before Jesus Christ, the perfect man. We'll have to stand before him, and we'll have to give an answer for the life that we have lived here as a Christian. Scares me to death. Scares me to death. I'm probably going to crawl in. I'm going to crawl in, see. But see, people are unaware of that. They're blind. They cannot see out there. They don't have enough faith to see that the judgment seat of Christ is coming. They're unaware of it. They don't care about it. They only can see right here. They're only aware of what's going on right around in their little circle, you see. It's not important to them. They can't see it. They can't see what is important in life. See, they're not worried about it. They can only see right here what's taking place with them. They don't have enough faith to see what is important in, you know, in life. He that lacketh these things, those seven things, is blind and cannot see afar off. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He hath forgotten that one day, whenever he got saved, that God purged him from his old sins. His sins were washed away, but he's forgotten about it. Why? Because he didn't grow as a Christian. He just sat there. The Bible is so that we can grow. Preaching and teaching the Holy Bible is so that we can grow. Fellowship with other Christians is so that we can grow. So we will not forget about these things, you see. He said, I don't want you to forget to grow. I don't want you to forget to bear fruit. I don't want you to forget where you came from. A lot of people would say, well, you know what? I got saved when I was little. I got saved when I was 6, 7 years old, and I just wasn't that bad. You know what? It doesn't matter if you were 6 years old or 60. It takes the same blood of Jesus Christ to save you, to save anybody. See, doesn't matter if they're 6 years old or 60 or 56 or 26. You see, God said, I don't want you to forget where you came from. And he said, last, I don't want you to forget, I want you to forget or remember not to fall. Look in verse number 10. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Okay, so he says there, number one, he said, I want you to give diligence. Isn't that what he said? Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. Now, it looks to me like you're calling an election. That is to look and to examine yourself and make sure that you are saved. Look and examine and see if you are one of the elect. You're calling an election, sure. The elect, that's a saved. God has elected all those who will believe on His Son. You see? So he said, I want you to remember not to fall. He said, verse number 10, wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Well, he said, if you'll do these things, then you will never fall. Well, now, what does that mean, to never fall? Does that mean you fall out of salvation? That does not mean that you're going to fall out of salvation. It means you fall from your own steadfastness. It means you fall from your place of service, you see. That's what it means. God does not, He wants us to stay in there and like I said, told you the other week, keep on keeping on. Keep on keeping on. You'll never fall. We are to examine ourselves and make sure that we're saved. And make sure that whenever you got saved, did you trust in Jesus Christ? Did you trust Him? Did you believe in Him? A lot of times it's sad, but sometimes people just say a prayer and they're trusting in their prayer to save them. I'm not against praying or anything like that. But you don't want to trust in saying a prayer. In order to be saved, you've got to trust in a person, and that person is Jesus Christ. You've got to trust in Him, see, in Him alone. You can't trust in your church. You can't trust in your baptism. You can't trust in any of these kinds of things. God gave you the Bible so that you could know that you're saved. God gave you the Holy Bible so that you can know that you're saved. Isn't that right, Betty? We've been talking about that. You cannot know that you're saved because of how you feel. It's good if you feel good. I hope you feel good. I love to feel the presence of God. I mean, I'm an emotional person, and some of you are too. Emotions. Nothing wrong with emotions, you see. But you're not saved. You cannot tell by your emotions if you're saved. You cannot know by how you feel. You might feel good today, and maybe tomorrow you don't feel so good. You know that you're saved because, number one, the Bible tells you. God put it down in black and white so that you could read it. The Bible says this. I'm going to give you three verses. 1 John chapter 5 and verse number 11 says this. It says this. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. See, it says there, number one, that God has given it to you. God gave you eternal life. It's a free gift. This is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. It's not in the church. It's not in the baptistry. It's in His Son. And then verse number 12 has 19 one-syllable words, folks. 19 one-syllable words. That's how simple God made it. He said in verse number 12, He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's just that simple. The world can be divided into two groups of people, those who have the Son and those who don't have the Son. If you have the Son, Jesus Christ, as your Savior, living on the inside of you, then you have eternal life. Doesn't matter about anything else. Doesn't matter whether you've been baptized or not. You ought to be baptized. But that has nothing to do with salvation. The last verse, verse number 13, says this. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. Let me ask you something. Do you believe on the name of the Son of God? Do you believe on Jesus Christ? Have you put your faith and trust in Him alone? He said, I wrote these things to you so that you could know that you are saved. So that you could know it. I put it down for you in black and white. God Almighty is not shouting to us from heaven, telling us that we're saved. No, He's not. Jesus Christ is not walking around on the earth, giving us instructions, telling people how to live, telling people how to be saved in the flesh. He's not walking around. He wrote it down in a book, the Holy Bible, and we have a King James Bible, and that's where it's found, and that's how you know that you're saved. And so Peter said, giving all diligence, make your calling and election sure. He said, for if you do these things, you will never fall. You will never fall from your place of steadfastness. He did not say you're going to fall out of salvation. You see, falling down in an airplane is different from falling out of an airplane. You can fall down inside of an airplane, but you're still going to get to your destination. But brother, if you fall out of that airplane, you're in big trouble, you see. That's the same way it is with salvation. Living a Christian life, you can fall down. You can make some mistakes, can you, Brother Diaz? Shake you up there now. I mean, we talk about it all the time. See, me and him, me and Brother Diaz, we're a couple of sinners, you know. And we talk about these things, see. You can fall down as a Christian. And you can do some bad things. I mean really bad things. But you can't fall out of salvation. Just like when you get in a plane, you can fall down in the airplane, but you're still going to get to your destination. But if you fall out of it, then you're in trouble. That's the way it is with salvation. You're not going to fall out of it. Look, you're part of Jesus Christ. You're part of Him. You're part of His body, bone of His bone and flesh of His flesh. Amen? That makes sense to everybody? He's reminding us. He don't want you to forget those things. We're supposed to remember them over and over.